Time is right now, 7 minutes after 8 o'clock on a Monday morning. Mostly cloudy skies. Temperature stands at 53 degrees in downtown Wausau at our studios on the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street. My name is Chad Holmes. This is the Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. I hope you all had a terrific weekend and very happy to have you back with us to start off another work week. My producer is Ian Welsh. Good morning, Ian.
Good morning, Chad.
Well, I see that you came in at the right time. I came in at the right time. So I guess we both were able to work the clocks the way they were supposed to yesterday morning.
Yes, it was nice to get an extra hour of sleep.
Well, I'm going to ask you this. Do you have a thought on whether or not we should keep the system we have it now, where we go back in November, then we will go back into savings time in, I think, March? Would you like to see daylight savings time go 12 months a year? Would you like to see standard time go 12 months a year? Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, honestly, I don't mind a daylight savings time. I mean, you only have to move the clocks back just once a year. So honestly, if you go to bed early, it's not that big a deal. But some people don't feel that way. You know, some people just want to get rid of it. But me, it doesn't matter to me as long as I promise myself I go to bed.
Well, the thing about it for myself is I haven't had, deep feelings either way. But I came across an article, and we're going to talk about this a little bit later in the program, talking about the health challenges that sometimes that we have during the spring. And actually, when you go to daylight savings time, according to an article that I've come across and some scientific research, that when we do go into daylight savings time in March, there is some disruptions to daily routines caused by switching from standard time to daylight savings time. And this study also shows that when we go into the fall and we go back to standard time, that it does not have the same health effects, especially for younger people. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that coming up later in the program. Maybe change your mind. Maybe make you think, hey, we should just stick one way or the other. And I'm going to give some thoughts on it a little bit later on in the program.
That'd be interesting.
Hey, that's what we try to do around here. We try to be interesting. We try to make sure that people will stick around for the entirety of our program from 8 until 10 a.m. 8 till 10 a.m. standard time right now. But also on the program, coming up in just under 10 minutes, we will have in studio a guest as Tony Gonzalez will be coming in. Tony Gonzalez is the Wisconsin Director of the American Business Immigration Coalition. He's going to be discussing progress made on an issue we talked about with Tony the last time he was here a few months ago, discussing a bipartisan piece of legislation that Tony is pushing to allow residents enrolled in the DACA program to become law enforcement officers in Wisconsin. And of course, the DACA program, if you're not familiar with it, it's the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program. And we're going to talk a little bit about where he is with the process on that. Also, we are going to talk about some parole and state authorized worth authorization ideas that the American Business Immigration Coalition has to try to help address labor shortages, among other things. So plenty to talk about with Tony Gonzalez. He'll be coming in here in just a few minutes at about 8:20 on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Well, I had a busy weekend. Did you have a busy weekend? Kind of a busy weekend.
Sort of medium busy. I was working on a brand new schedule for this month to get my routine back in order.
So some self-improvement, nice, huh?
Yep, self-improvement. It was also nice to watch the Packers win for a change.
That is right. I got to say, that was it was sort of a 50-50 football weekend because you had the Packers winning yesterday. It wasn't pretty at times, but they got the job done. And the Wisconsin Badgers, mm-hmm. they lost to Indiana Saturday. We'll talk a little bit more about that as well.
I also heard that the Badgers basketball and the Milwaukee Bucks are starting tonight.
Yeah, and Marquette is getting underway as well. They're ranked in the top 10 in the country. Badgers are going into action. You got, as you said, the Bucks are now 3-2. They lost. They beat the Knicks on Friday night. They are in action against the Brooklyn Nets tonight. And meantime, I get about a week before we get into winter high school sports. And I had a busy weekend because I had trips to Green Bay, both very early Friday morning and very early Saturday morning. And because Pneuma Catholic girls volleyball team was involved in the Division IV state tournament over at the Resch Center in Green Bay this weekend. And it meant Division IV started at 9 o'clock. And then they went D3, D2, D1, and, you know, but 9 o'clock. So got up very early, drove overhead. Again, I always hold my breath a little bit on these longer drives because you don't want to get into any trouble, don't want to have a flat tire, don't want to have any car issues.
Right.
But we're able to get over there smoothly. It was funny on Saturday morning when I was heading over for the state championship game. I live in Weston, so I just get onto Highway 29 and head towards Green Bay. And from the time I got onto Highway 29 eastbound, there was traffic coming on the west side going towards from Green Bay towards Wausau to Eau Claire. But when I got on 29 in Weston, I did not see another person on Highway 29 eastbound all the way past Wittenberg. It was like odd because usually when you're driving, you come across somebody that merges in, or you see somebody in the distance where you see some lights because it was dark out. Yeah. I saw nobody for about 35 miles. It was really odd, I thought, because Highway 29 East is usually a pretty busy road, but it was early on Saturday morning. It was just between 6 and 6:30. I was driving during that route, and it was actually very nice. It was actually I enjoyed just being able to drive by myself on this 2-lane road, not have to worry about anybody because it was obviously a split highway. And it got to the point where I'm thinking, well, am I going to make it almost all the way to Green Bay before I see anybody on Highway 29 East? But then I got just past Shawnee, actually, and it was past Wittenberg. I got past Wittenberg and stayed that way, and then when I got to Shawnee, so finally somebody came merging in and I saw somebody, but it was incredibly strange. But it was a lot of fun to go and do a state tournament. It was a lot of excitement. Newman won their state semifinal against Prentice on Friday. And then on Saturday, it looked as though the Cardinals were going to win it all. They had a 2-sets-to-love lead. It was a best of five, so we had to win 3 sets in order to win this championship. They were facing Wanawak Central. And Wanawak Central on Friday in the semifinals lost the first 2 sets in their match, but then they came charging back. They won set 3, they won set 4, they won set 5. And then Saturday, they did it again. They won set 3, they won set 4, and then they won set 5. So in the end, Pneuma Catholic came up just short of a 5th state championship in school history in volleyball. They had won 3 straight state titles in the past decade from 2013 to 2016, but it was still a terrific run. It's a fairly young team, so they're going to, I think, be very good again next year. But again, I had a chance to talk to their coach afterwards, and she was just very proud of her group. And they deserve it because they played exceptionally well during the course of the season, finishing up 33-13 overall, and played a lot of good teams, Division I teams during the course of the year. They played Wausau West 3 times, won all 3. They beat Wausau East. They came up short in a 5-set thriller against DC Everest. They beat Stevens Point. So it was a group that tested themselves throughout the course of the season. So it was just a lot of fun. Always great to see the fans and the families. And it was wonderful to hear people say they were appreciative that Bull Falls Radio was able to cover the action, and we are just, again, so very proud of the fact that we continue to be the only Wausau radio station that does cover on a play-by-play basis high school athletics, and we were with the Cardinals on the weekend, and we're just 8 days away from the start of the winter sports season, because during the winter, we will be covering boys and girls basketball and boys and girls hockey. Wausau West Marathon and Newman Catholic Boys and Girls Basketball, Wausau West Hockey, and also the Central Wisconsin Storm in hockey. So not a lot of time between the start end of the fall season and then the start of the winter season.
Yeah, it's going to be coming up pretty quick.
Absolutely. So again, thanks to everybody who tuned in on the weekend, and thanks again to the Newman volleyball team for providing a lot of fun at the state tournament both on Friday and Saturday. And again, if you missed any of the action, or if you miss any of the action of any of our broadcasts, including this show, including all the shows on the Civic Media Radio Network, all of our play-by-play sports, we put them up as podcasts. Again, podcasts, you can go to bullfallsradio.com, go to civicmedia.us, go to anywhere that you have podcasts, and be able to relive all the action of the football season, of the volleyball state tournament, of this program each and every day. And again, we have programs, we got somewhere around 20 stations. I've lost count how many stations we have. Mm-hmm. But some of the programs are in other parts of the state, and some very interesting and very thought-provoking hosts and topics. Make sure you check it out. Check out the podcast. Check out bullfallsradio.com. Click on shows, and then you'll see all the shows, all of them. My show, you'll see As Goes Wisconsin. You'll see Pat Kreitlow. You'll see Todd Alba. You'll see the shows not on Bull Falls Radio, such as Earl Ingram, who's on in much of the state right now as well. So, again, check it out on the website at bullfallsradio.com and civicmedia.us. The time is coming up on 8:18 again. A mild start here today. Temperature in the 50s to get things underway. I was very surprised when I got up this morning and got into the vehicle to drive on over how warm it was. We will get details on the early week weather forecast from our meteorologist Jennifer Vuchiski coming up at 9:06. But we're going to take a quick pause and then allow Tony Gonzalez to get settled in, and we'll talk to Tony coming up in just 2 minutes. I'm Chad Holmes. It is the Monday edition of the Chad Holmes Show. The time is 8:18. Currently, mostly cloudy skies, temperature of 53 degrees. More to come with Tony Gonzalez next on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. And welcome back. Chad Holmes with you. Chad Holmes Show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. BullFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. And on the Civic Media app, the time is 8:21 here on this Monday morning. Mostly cloudy skies and 53 degrees. And once again, we are very happy to welcome back into our studio Tony Gonzalez. And Tony, number one, good morning.
Good morning,
Chad. And number two, before we get going, I am going to make sure that we got your titles perfectly correct, because you do so many things that are so important. But number one, consultant for the American Business Immigration Coalition. Number two, my mind freezes up. Number two, what's your other?
Director for...
American Hispanic Association. director.
Yes.
And also third is the interpreter position.
Business owner of EHE Interpreters.
You are a busy man and always glad that you have a little bit of your busy schedule to stop on by and talk to us. A lot to talk about. Let's start off first by getting an update, because last time you were with us, you're talking about some bipartisan legislation you're trying to push forward to allow residents who are enrolled in DACA, again, the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals Program, to become law enforcement officers in the state of Wisconsin. And it was a few months ago that you were in here talking about the process. And to be honest with you, it seems like the kind of issue that would be very difficult to get everybody to come on board with. But you've been continuing to work on it, and you're getting some real progress done here, that we're getting close to. Are we getting close to having something that really get across the finish line?
Yes. Fortunately, do feel like things are moving in the right direction, because it's been a long time since anything having to do with DACA or immigration, in particular here in Wisconsin, has made any progress. You know, one of the issues we've talked about before is a driver's permit, a driver's mm-hmm. card that would allow people to just simply get on the road. But the one you're talking about is Senate Bill 78, Assembly Bill 51, that looks to allow DACA recipients to join law enforcement. There's many, we're very close to it. We have a good number of votes in the caucus, the Republican caucus. And, you know, I think the best part of it all, though, Chad, is that we have had a lot of open doors from people that you, or that some will say that are unfriendly to any immigration issue. You'd be surprised. We've had some really good support from people that are understanding that for the immigration issue to be solved, although at state level we can't, you have to break it up and understand, mm-hmm. in particular, in this case, who the DACA recipients are. Again, they are people that were brought to this country by their parents, whatever they say, illegally or whatever, but they themselves didn't commit the illegality. Like I said, it's tantamount to me putting my daughter in my car and going to Lincoln County. She has no choice. Mm-hmm. She comes along, right. Period. And, you know, they are very well vetted. They're not just DACA because they are suddenly become DACA. It's they've got to meet a number of requirements. Again, they got to stay in school, graduate, complete their high school, remain working. They have to not use any federal or state funds for anything. Every 2 years, they got to pay their status at almost $500, and they got to keep their nose clean, and they get a background check, a criminal check every 2 years. So these are people that are the best vetted in the nation. And I think, like I said, the best part of this is that we have been getting people on both sides, in particular, really listening, understanding, and standing behind us on this. So we're very close, and we hope to, before the end of the year, have a resolution to this.
When you talk about that vetting process, obviously, you know, it's important, but I think to myself is, would I want to be vetted that closely? Would anybody want to be? Because it shows, again, what folks are willing to do. Because, again, that's a lot. You know, in a sense, I feel a little bit, I would feel bad in a sense, because these folks have not done anything wrong, but yet they're being, you know, in a sense, they're being asked to be, you know, treated like they've done something wrong. And I understand that folks will talk, like you said, you talked about whether that's called illegal or whatever it may be. But as you said as well, these are just people who came with their parents, and they didn't do anything wrong. And yet, you know, you talk about, and we're going to talk about, you know, parole and some other issues here in a few minutes. But I tell you, it's, you know, you talk about bending over backwards. When I heard you list all those out, it's bending over backwards in a sense. I kind of feel like that's a little, almost it's going too far. This is a personal statement of myself. It just, you know, we all need to treat each other like we want to be treated, and it's like, eh. No, we understand that this has to be done in order to get the support, but boy, we're really asking a lot, aren't we?
Well, yeah, we are. In a sense, we are. I would, you know, put it this way. You know, we all have our door in our home, and we want to know that the people that come in are people that we welcome.
Yes.
And, you know, implicitly, in one way or the other, we vet our friends that come inside our house.
You're right.
Because
you're
we've known them for years or something like that. In this case in particular, people are willing to take the extra step to show, look, clean hands. It's like, you know, when we... The principle of when you shake somebody's hands is to show my hand is clear.
Yeah.
Everything is clean. So that's what they're doing right here. At a sound of 2 years, that is more of a issue that, you know, that comes with whole this whole immigration mess that we have in Washington, that things should not just be done through an action that is not totally approved and everything. Things that are... That should have gone through Congress, and common sense would have made them happen. Obviously, the executive order was taken because it protects them, and it's good that these individuals in particular get protected. You know, and I still think, you know, being a little bit fair, and this might cause some people to disagree, but it's okay. We can disagree and not hate each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
really?
Yeah, right? What a concept. It's, you know, since people are willing to show that they're coming to this country and that they have no criminal background, mm-hmm. no problems or anything, if, you know, we have a saying in Spanish, el que nada debe, nada teme, which means if you don't owe anything, you don't fear anything.
Right, right.
So, you know, yeah, I know it's a little bit burdensome, but however, exactly what you're saying should actually be a reason why other what these people or many that are against things like this go like, well, you know what? Really, they are going through this process. They are totally clean because they're getting their status. What are we going to do? You know, they're the best vetted group. 11 million are not going to just disappear overnight. And if they do, you better stock up on milk and everything because mm-hmm. it's going to cost a lot next day. What we need to do is start the conversation, have people understand. And I'm very pleased to say that many people, and in particular on the conservative side, who we sometimes feel that are more resilient about this, there's many of them really that are understanding this very correctly, are supporting this, and I'm very happy to have that.
We have to take a quick news update break and then come back here with Tony Gonzalez coming up next. The time is 8:29 here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230 WXCO. Chad Holmes Show, Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. I love this song because I've heard it and I thought of my own life, and I bet you there's a lot of people. Sometimes I don't know what to feel. And a guy that always makes me feel better is Tony Gonzalez, because he works across the aisle. He works with people that, when I first start thinking about, you hear names, and I think, there's no way that person's going to be able to help in some way. And that's one of the things that's been so enlightening in talking to you when you work on these projects and these bills and these pieces of legislation, where you talk across the aisle, and you find that there's a lot more that keeps us together than otherwise, even if we don't think so. There's a sense that there is this gulf on every issue, and it's not that way, is it?
No. It's, you know, I think what hurts us the most, and no offense here to the media, but...
I can handle it. I got thick skin.
But, you know, we sit there and listen to both extremes, you know, on the radio, TV, all the time, and nobody's willing to find the middle point or understand that there is issues that we both agree on that we should be solving together. You know, if we focus on the differences, we never get nowhere. You know, it's what keeps us so far apart right now and so divided. It's so extreme on both sides that, you know, ridiculousness meets ridiculousness.
Right.
When one side says something so outlandish, the other side responds in kind. And all of a sudden, everybody in the middle is like looking up in the sky going like, oh my God, which way do I go? So, you know, yeah, we need to build that bridge. It's been, I've been very fortunate again to be able to talk to a lot of people on both sides of the aisle, and really sit down and break down the issues. There is no blanket fix for the whole thing. We have to go one piece at a time, understanding where we focus our resources, as few as they are, and where we put those resources to protect us the way that we need to be protected. You know, we need to see who the real enemy is, where the problems really are, and not just focus on a group because they look a little different, a little brown or anything like that. So, you know, it's important that we continue reaching out, talking to many people, talking to our legislators. And I will say I'm very blessed, and I always say that I'm very blessed to be from the Marathon County area, because many of our legislators here have opened the door to listen and cooperated in this venture of helping promote a bill, this Senate Bill 78, and also to, you know, bridge that gap and bring the communities together.
Let's turn to American Business Immigration Coalition. I have to admit, when I see the title, the word business gets in there, I perk my eyebrows up a little bit. Oh, they're going to look out for business number one. But you've actually, I mean, with this business, immigration, and the thing is, the longer we go without any forward progress when it comes to immigration issues, whether or not it's comprehensive or whether or not it's piece by piece, it hurts everybody. It hurts the communities. It hurts the immigrants. It hurts business as well. So I guess, in a sense, it really is something. It's actually kind of the perfect coalition, isn't it?
Well, thank you.
I mean, because again, sometimes there's a thought that business is looking for business as opposed to people.
Well,
I'll
tell you, when I met the people with the American Business Immigration Coalition in Chicago back in April, I was very pleased to their approach, this whole thing. You know, I mean, we all have different political feelings and, you know, and all this, but pretty much we understand that we are working together. And, you know, it's about, you know, maybe people may say it's just about business, but it isn't just about business. I again, and always quote my friend Jeff Todd, you know, we're talking about human beings.
Mm-hmm.
But we're talking about really good human beings and the business community on a bipartisan, because our board, and you can go online and check for the American Business Immigration Coalition, and you will see that our board and our members are people from both sides of the aisle. They're business owners from both sides, that all they want to do is, let's get something done here. We need workers. We need to improve and give a good shot to our economy, and we have a good pool of people that should be eligible. What are we going to do to do it? So,
And real quickly, let me jump in that I imagine that the business owners, as much as anybody, realize the issues involved with the lack of action, because again, we talk about labor shortages. Nobody feels it more probably than the business owners, because if you don't have the labor, then one day a week you may have to shut down your business.
Exactly.
Because you just don't have enough workers.
Right, right. And then, you know, this is where people, some businesses are forced to hire under the circumstances that are not the most ideal, which is people that are undocumented, but they need the workers, otherwise their business is going to go down. And there's other businesses that really want to strongly comply and do e-verify and everything. And their hands are tied also this time, because they just cannot find the right amount of workers that they need. You know, I got a note right here, and it says, if every employed person in the country would find a job, we would still have around 3 million open jobs. So, you know, we need to think about this. We need to think about people. Let's take the blinds off our eyes. Everybody's been out the street. Everybody's been in many different places around this country. You know that people that are undocumented or illegal or without a status are around. They're working on the farms. They're bringing you food to the table. So let's really separate the stuff. You know, we know that the border, we agree that the border has to be protected. As a member of the Hispanic community, I know that people are saying we do need protection, because if any wrong person gets around, it reflects on all of us. So we agree with that. But at the same time, like I say, we can walk and chew gum at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
We got people here already that have proven their worth, that have paid taxes, that have contributed to our economy. And, you know, we can solve this, reduce that 11 million number to a number that it's really a good or a correct target with a good, robust immigration process.
You provided me this really interesting memo when you stopped by late last week about parole and state-sponsored work authorization. And, you know, there's so many bullet points to it, and we only have a few minutes to really discuss it. But one of the points that I kind of highlighted was that parole provides a strategy to address labor shortages while increasing economic activity and repopulation of area states that are seeing significant decline. And that's one of the things I think that people need to realize. There are so many areas, whether it's Wisconsin, whether it's the United States, that are seeing so many issues when it comes to workers and basically leading to economic decline. And can you explain what the idea is here?
Yes. The idea is the following. We're going to be going to Washington, actually having some legislative meetings and a march of well-organized, with a permit march, to show and to ask President Biden to exercise his executive power. And this is not to empower nobody more, but to make him comply with promises that they have made and a need that the whole nation has. And so he's president, he's president of the whole United States, not just of a few. And we're asking him to use his executive power to extend parole in place for people that are coming in, that are already getting a work permit, and many, many of the people that are already here in this country that have been here forever, to give them a path to get to work legally, to show, you know, that they are part of this economy, that they're essential, and that are needed to work. And businesses are coming along with us. You can go to our page and you'll see it, American Business Immigration Coalition, and you'll see who is behind this. There's people from both sides saying that we need this because of the need of workers, of the need of a humanitarian treatment of many of them that need care, and overall, the reason that this power exists is for significant public benefit. This is nothing new. It's been used in the past by other presidents. So we need to do something so that we reduce that number, that 11 million number again, and focus on work, on our economy, on the public benefit, on our moral standing in the United States, and really focus, if you know, the protection of our borders where it needs to be, not against people that are working and have been around us for many years, trying to cooperate with our economy and raise their families in the right way.
I think one of the interesting points you made when you said that you want the president to act with his executive authority is there have been promises that have been made.
Yes.
What promises specifically would you like to see fulfilled quickly, the most quickly, from the president with his powers?
Well, a path for people to get their citizenship in this country, and a better immigration policy at the border.
The pathway's been something that's been talked about a lot. What specifically promise are you talking about with when it comes to the pathway?
Well, you know, currently it takes forever. And I'll even quote it from a Meg Ellison show not too long ago, okay? And she mentioned about an Indian couple who had two children who are 18, around that age right now. They came to this country, they have their visa, and their daughters up to this date do not have their paperwork to remain in this country legally by the time they turn 21. And she was saying, you know, what a shame. These are people that want to work. They're educated and everything. And I called, we talked, and she agreed with me. Mm-hmm. This is a group of people that need to be taken care of. And we have many of those instances in many different areas of immigration where we can really sort out the people that can be made a resident, a legal resident, and build their path by the work that they do, by the things that they do, to eventually, if they want to become a citizen. Not everybody wants to become a citizen. Many want to just come, work, pay their taxes, go back home to see their families, their mothers, or anything, family members might be dying. So, you know, not everything leads to citizenship, but at least to be able to live in the United States peacefully, not look over your shoulder, you know, to see police is going to stop me because I'm driving from here to work or taking my kids to school.
We got about 3 minutes to go here, and I want to make sure that we talk about this, because when you talk about Meg, and I think you talk about what's often said on right-wing media, not to, you know, say that everybody on any other media is innocent, but we hear so often, and we also hear from elected officials, I would say Representative Tiffany is one, about the border crisis, and making it sound like anybody that's coming over that border is a criminal and has no skills. And I think something that you've talked about is there are so many skills that are being brought over that we need in this country right now. Can you talk about your perspective on what the border crisis is, the crisis of immigration is, maybe compared to what we do hear in some of the hyperbolic headlines that we see in some areas of the media?
3 minutes. That's a very short time to talk about that.
Well, you're a busy man.
there's many layers to this. You know, one of them is that a lot of the people come, I would speak for what I know, people coming from South America, from Venezuela, across the Darien, and all, you know, there's many coyotes and many drug interested people and everything, pushing people, saying, yeah, you get to America, you're going to get all this. And that's not the situation. Obviously, many of them are fleeing situations, which are terrible. But the problem is that, you know, one of them is our thirst for drugs here in the United States. You know, so long as that keeps going right here, there's going to be a supplier, whether it be from China and fentanyl, or whether it be from the Americas, other kind of drugs or whatever. So that needs to be taken care of. And the other thing is the process is so lengthy. Everybody talks about, why don't they get online? You tell me what this line is and how much money you need and what are the only people that are going to be able to. Because if we're going to have a farm community that works, trust me, they don't have the thousands of dollars that it takes to get in that line like they should be able to. So we need to do something better for the vetting process. We need to have a visa program that is going to allow people to come here legally. And we need to focus also on the people that are already here, that have paid taxes, that have not been in any trouble whatsoever, to be able to legalize their situation here in the United States.
We're going to have to get you back in very, very soon, because we already scratched the surface here. Time flies, doesn't it? I tell you.
Time flies.
But Tony, thanks again for coming in.
And I, you know, real fast, I want to give a number. So if people want questions, you know, please 715-903-6427. Again, 715-903-6427. Hate messages will be hung up on anybody that wants to talk to. I'll be more than glad to talk.
And welcome back. Chad Holmes with you here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. And Tony, you got cut off there. Tony, again, wants you to know, as he was leaving here, because he had to get moving. We would have kept him on even longer, but he's got so much stuff that is going on right now. He had to run out of here, get to his vehicle, get over for an appointment at 9 o'clock. But the American Hispanic Association, if you have any questions about anything we've heard, and if you just generally have questions about, you know, immigration or any of the different issues involved within that sphere, Tony can help you out. And again, get a pen. And I'm going to post this on our social media as well at 715-903-6427. Again, that's 715-903-6427 for the American Hispanic Association. And also, you talked about the peaceful march that'll be occurring. It's going to be happening next week, or middle of next week. And you can get more information on Here to Work, parole and state-sponsored work authorization. And again, we just, it's a shame because, I mean, the time goes by so quickly. We want to try to get through these issues and try to talk about them in a very serious way. But boy, I mean, the time just goes by so quickly. You can get more by going to the American Business Immigration Coalition website and get more information on the March in Washington, get more information on what they're trying to accomplish here with this, these ideas. And it was great to talk to Tony about some of these issues when it comes to immigration, because the longer we go without accomplishing anything when it comes to immigration, the deeper the hole gets in terms of some of these issues. And we are seeing labor shortages. And the idea of those, I would say, on the far right, that just about building walls and making sure we get rid of anybody that doesn't have 100% proper authorization to be in our country. But so many of these people are hard workers. We've talked about this in the past. We didn't really get into it as deeply today with Tony, but we talked about it. These are workers that want to build a life in our country, want to be part of a community, be part of making our country better, bring the skills involved. And right now, the fact that we cannot get anything accomplished when it comes to immigration reform and the pathway, again, as Tony said, these immigrants want a pathway. Just a pathway. And they're willing to go through so many hoops. Like I mentioned in the first segment, we talked to Tony about how many of these hoops and how many of these hurdles they have to go over. And also, again, at the very end of the conversation, I should have gave Tony more opportunity, more time, but that we hear about the border crisis. And I'm not saying there's not no issues involved, but the way they discuss it, the way that they talk about the border crisis, about how the face, and I remember last year, just over a year ago, in the run-up to the 2022 election, when U.S. Representative Tom Tiffany was involved in a forum over at UWSP at Wausau. And, you know, he's talking, and he's, you know, very friendly at first, talking about his life, about northern Wisconsin, and then all of a sudden he starts talking about the border, and his face darkens. And his voice gets slower and deeper. You can almost see the spotlight with the shadows. And talking about, you know, the evil that is coming over the border and how we have to stop. We have to build that wall. We have to make sure that they're all kicked out. Yes, as Tony even said, yes, there is an aspect to it that brings drugs into our country. Wouldn't have that issue if people in this country weren't so involved in drugs as well. But they don't talk about those that are just fleeing incredible pain, incredible amounts of, you know, hurt. They're just trying to get out of very, very tough situations. And also, again, come to this country with skills, to be able to work, to help with what is a significant shortage in terms of labor in this state and in this country. We constantly hear about it. So instead of trying to have child labor, which is what Republicans have been pushing both here in Wisconsin and in other states, basically trying to allow kids that are going to school for 8 hours a day then to go to work for 8 hours a day. I mean, that's nuts. That's craziness. There are ideas, and one of the things that Tony does so well is he goes into the offices of Corey Tomchek, of Jesse James, of Pat Snyder, conservative Republicans, and they talk to Tony, and Tony talks to them, and they start moving closer together to try and solve some of these issues. Maybe not comprehensive immigration reform, but taking one step at a time. I mean, when Tony came in a number of months ago talking about this DACA program to allow residents enrolled in the DACA program to become law enforcement officers in Wisconsin, the first thought is, how is that going to happen? How are we? I mean, how the heck are we going to get, you know, the mid-teens? I get like, I forget the exact number, 15, 16, 17 Republicans to sign on to this. Tony's out of his mind thinking that could happen. No, Tony's not out of his mind. He goes into those offices. He talks to these representatives and government officials, and he's able to push the football forward. Maybe start at your own 20-yard line. Get it past the midfield stripe. Get into the opposing team's territory. And even if you don't get a touchdown, at least you get a field goal. I mean, what Tony does and what he does with the groups that he works with, the American Hispanic Association and the American Business Immigration Coalition, just really good stuff. And again, if you want to talk to Tony, if you have questions for Tony, you can call the American Hispanic Association at 715-903-6427 and get more information as well at the American Business Immigration Coalition website. Coming up, CBS News at the top of the hour. We'll find out what's going on around the country and around the world. We'll have Brittany Merlot with a Bull Falls Radio News update. And then we'll be back with hour number two of the show. I'm Chad Holmes. The time is 8:58 here on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230.